Dr. Brotherworth, I was wondering if we could start with just sort of a brief summary of the process and some of the key findings and recommendations that your team made concerning the intermediate school.
First, probably your listeners would like to know a little bit about the process and how it came to be that the Smith Intermediate School was selected for a state review. Your listeners may have heard of the federal level No Child Left Behind law. One of the things that the federal law does is it sets up what people in the educational field call an accountability system. It wants to make sure that schools have the capacity to be able to help all students to reach high achievement levels. And it dictates that in addition to an overall average on state assessments for the school as a whole, that various subpopulations in the school, those, for example, students who receive special education, those who are English language learners, those from different racial ethnic groups, those who are economically disadvantaged, that all of the subpopulations also perform well or at state standard in similar ways. And when a school isn't able to do that, it ends up over time, it can be identified as a school in need of improvement for either English language arts or mathematics, or both. And at that point, a school will receive a what's known as a school quality review, which is a modest 1 or 2 day visit by some outside educators. If the school continues to struggle with any of its subpopulation performance, it will then receive something known as an audit of curriculum. And if it continues on the accountability list and ends up in restructuring, that's the stage that Smith found itself, it receives one of these joint intervention team visits, and which is a 3 day visit by a large team looking at seven areas of school life. And that's really, they're not uncommon. Many of the, our team, for example, has done similar reviews at Hackett Middle School in Albany, Doyle Middle School in Troy, Peekskill High School, several of the Newburgh schools. We've been in different, just to name a few. Now, often it comes to urban schools, which tend to have diverse populations that and not a lot of resources, tend to be poorer schools. So anyway, that's a little bit about the process. Our state team came at the invitation of the district. We set it up, and we were there in late January, and we had a team of about 9 individuals, and because the school was identified for struggling with its special education students and also with Hispanic and African American students, we brought a team that included special educators and people who looked at literacy and literacy in the content areas and the learning environment. And we actually looked at the process called for us to do a review of all the materials in the school, sometimes known as document review. In addition, we interviewed individuals like the principal or the assistant superintendent or the English department chairman, and we conducted focus groups. Those would be like group interviews for maybe the seventh grade team or the social studies department. We did that. And then finally, we also did classroom observations. We were in and out of all the classrooms at Smith during that time period. When we were done, the 9-person team has to reach consensus on findings. We really needed multiple sources of evidence. We're sort of like news reporters. That is, we can't just take a chance comment or a chance observation and then regard it as a finding. So we have to say to ourselves, did we see it? Did we hear it? Did we read it? So when we have multiple sources of evidence, we made a finding. And the requirement is, if we've made a finding, we have to make a recommendation. So in total, We made a total of about 30 recommendations, 30 findings and 30 recommendations in the 7 prescribed areas of life. So we were following the same procedure that's used with all schools, and there are about 60 criteria that we look at in these, divided among these 7 areas. Once a recommendation, once the report is filed with the State Education Department and it's approved by them, it goes back to the school. They're required to develop a what's called a comprehensive education plan, and that's using a team of administrators and teachers and staff members and parents. That group has to complete this educational plan that explains how they'll implement the findings over time. That is, how they will turn it into a set of strategies, on what timetable, who will be responsible for this, how they'll know if they're successful, things of that sort. And so from this point on, the State Education Department liaison to the district will check in on the school from time to time for that purpose.
Do you mind if I ask you a quick question? Just I was just sort of going through the categories and indicators. There's curriculum, there's teaching and learning, and the school got fairly low marks in most of the categories, either ones or twos, out of a range from 1 to 4. I did want to ask you generally, do you think that these reports are productive? Are they helpful for the school? Because there was an assessment done on this school in 2006, and many of the same areas of concern were identified then, and here we are 5 years later, and we're seeing a lot of the same issues coming up in the assessment report. Maybe another way to put that is going forward, what sort of help does the state follow up and help the school implement some of the changes it's recommending?
Well, that's an excellent question. The first of all, about the on a 4-point scale from 1 being lowest to 4 being highest, 4 is in these 60 areas indicate evidence of full implementation in the area. Probably the very best school on the planet probably couldn't get 64. You know, there are 60 areas. They probably couldn't get a 4 on all of these. And so all schools are in process. All schools are sort of a mixed bag of. And number 2, for example, Smith got a lot of these, which is basically there's evidence of some implementation, meaning we saw the evidence in some places and not in others, and so it has room for improvement. That's the point. As far as over the years, yes, what happens is the school is given as it continues on this accountability list, which I described. It's given some extra funds to continue its work for professional development or for planning. It's not a lot, but it's the idea is that they're to be focused on what the earlier reports said. One of the State Education Department, though, is mostly about compliance. That is, you know, it will call attention to the shortcomings, but it doesn't have the ability anymore to provide assistance to the schools, and so it really will leave it up to the district officials and the building officials to carry this out. In the case of Hudson, it will take a lot of resources to be able to implement all these recommendations. A lot of them, it's not so much money, but it's time that is really to do this. The faculty and staff have to spend a lot of time as adults with one another, thinking through and reaching agreement on how they're going to proceed. But a lot, you know, the problem is most of the time is devoted to teaching, to the teaching day, and so what they're going to have to do is prioritize. They're going to have to look at those, and I mentioned this when I met with the Board of Education the other day. They're going to have to start by identifying the top 5 or 6 things to do, and then really focus on those that have the greatest hold the hold the greatest probability of helping to improve the school rapidly. And so it's going to be a work in progress, but as they continue on this accountability list, the state comes in more and more often to make sure that they're staying focused and attending to this.
Dr. Butterworth, I had a question. One of your findings was that your group determined that there were very low expectations for student performance at MC Smith, and as much as resources, allocation of resources, personnel issues, and so forth, are costly. What does a district do to raise expectations? Is that part of the culture? How do you change that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are always two dimensions in school life. One is whether or not the school staff cares, that is, whether they support student efforts. And in fact, what we found was it's a very caring environment. People very much care about the kids. They like them. They interact very well with them. But there's another dimension, and that's high expectations, really believing that all students can learn to high levels. The whole state system is built on that all students can reach high levels. That's a modern concept, probably only 10 or 15 years old. Before that, the all around New York State and around the country, the idea was, well, you know, some students are going to go into college-bound programs, and others will finish high school and go into employment, and that's okay. The way education is built now, the idea is that all students have to be prepared to be college or career ready. That's the slogan now, and so all kids have to be prepared to very high levels. And often experienced staff that are sort of caught with this change. Let's just take special education students for a minute. You know, how can we expect special education students to reach high achievement levels? Well, the point is, given the proper supports, there needs to be an expectation that they can do that, that they can overcome their disability and perform like other students in the general population. That's what the state is holding schools accountable for. So the school staff has to think this through, because right now probably the student group that's the farthest from reaching state standards are the special education students. And a lot of special education students are in the general classrooms at Smith. That's actually the requirement. It's one of the key things that the school staff needs to talk about. Both the general and the special ed teachers need to really think about how they can step up their expectations for groups like special education students.
In a way, then, I wonder if the report is also geared towards BOCES. Doesn't BOCES administer special education here in this district? Yeah.
Well, it does and it doesn't. I mean, some students are sent to BOCES programs if they have a disability for which the school district doesn't have a class, and so they'll send those students to specialized BOCES programs. The large majority of special education students, though, are educated in the city school district with city personnel. So part of this, that's a key issue. It's very common, incidentally. A lot of middle schools, and this is an intermediate school, but it has middle school grades. A lot of them are being flagged for deficiencies in the special ed area, among others.
Well, I was wondering, I'm sure you're aware of some of the politics and the conversation around testing and standards state assessment. And one of the concerns is that when a state goes into some of the toughest school districts where teachers are already working hard, it creates another layer of data and information collection and reports that the teachers wind up having to spend their time with the state bureaucracy rather than in the classroom teaching the students. Do you think that's a valid critique of the system?
Well, there's a reason why the state does that. The state is essentially getting local educators' attention, which is and signaling what's important. And data does that. And there's a lot there. And the idea is that it can be used to spot trends and patterns, not only for the school as a whole or a class, but also individual students. And the idea is not simply to present material. You know, there's an old saying that, you know, teachers might say, well, I taught it, they just didn't learn it. And there's another saying that says, well, if it wasn't caught, it wasn't taught. The idea is the shift has occurred, and it's moved from it's not enough to simply present it. All students have to learn to high levels. That's the way that's what the state is signaling through its data, and
the state really puts the onus then on the school, the administration, and the teachers. But when a child is being raised and going to school, part of the most important education goes on at the home. Did your team review find that the school was actively engaging the larger community of parents?
Let me see here. Actually, the report, we did interview parents and we interviewed students, and this is one of the things we do. You know, it's part of those focus groups. The final report does not carry a lot on that. That meant that it wasn't considered, a particularly deficient area. We basically saw some implementation in the process of involving parents and families and having a parent organization and making sure that there was one and two-way communication. Could it be better? Most likely, but it wasn't considered a salient part of the problems at Smith.
You know, that's interesting because among people who have read about the report and were also present for your discussion with the board,
right,
remarked about that particular issue being cited as a strength because.
Oh, actually, you're right. Actually, I'm very sorry. One of the critical strengths were we wrote, relationships with community-based organizations are in place and growing to meet the needs of students and families. We were very impressed with the Hudson Reads program, with the mentoring and the extensive after-school and extended day opportunities that were in place. We've done a lot of these reviews, and what we found was the outreach to the community was to be able to extend the resources of the school by using the community resources was quite good.
Well, that's because the district as a whole does suffer from a disconnect with the community, especially with the minority community.
Yes, I certainly am generally aware of I'd heard that. Although what we noticed from looking at school programs, both during the day, at noon, and after school, it was actually a lot of activity compared to what you often see in urban schools. Again, you know, this was not the kind of, because the review is looking at curriculum, instruction, professional development, leadership, looking at all kinds of things. It would probably take a different kind of review to really dig deeply into the dynamics there.
Mm-hmm. I had just one other question. What role does the Board of Education play in all of this? What will they be involved in the planning going forward? Are you planning to meet with them at some future date to sort of workshop this program or this report?
Well, that was interesting. I presented to the Board of Education the highlights, and they had the full report at that time. Some of the board members asked whether or not CASDA, our organization, would have some interest in assisting the school in implementing some of the recommendations. And I said, we often do that. But the board's role, regardless of, they monitor this report. Implementation. They receive the building's thinking, the comprehensive education plan. They receive it, and they have to approve it before it goes to the state. In addition, they have to write their own plan for assisting the school building in carrying out the comprehensive education plan. It's called the District Corrective Action Plan. You know, what will the district do to support the building's improvement efforts?
I'm going to have to leave to go get ready for a 4 o'clock show. So I wanted to thank you for coming on, but I did wonder. So what happens in a year or two? I guess my question is, what's next? You know, what's the follow-up?
Under the federal requirements, we recommended that, for example, we chose the option that the school needed to develop and implement a school restructuring plan that included significant changes in staff or structure or leadership or configuration to address its issues. And we chose structure and configuration. You can see the kinds of recommendations we made. In the future, according to the federal plan, if a school does not begin to improve, it is subject to much more dramatic changes. It can be required to close or be phased out or be turned into a charter school, or removal of a significant percentage of the faculty to reconstitute the school. Now, no one really knows exactly how you do that when it's the only building at that level in a small city. These kind of things work better in a place like New York City, where you could close a school and reopen it somewhere else. But those are the federal rules. So the sanctions become more dramatic over the years. Smith will get some space for a couple of years to work on this. But the federal and state government are serious about wanting to make sure that the school take it seriously and move in the right direction.